there's still a big gap there. There's a 4,000 of a difference to meet the quota. Obviously, the local geographical patterns, I'll hope, will come into play. I remember back in 1999 when Ian McGarvey was on the ticket, I think I got 375 number twos off him.
Well, he's got 1,000, so...
Yeah, so, you know, I'll be hoping for transfers there. And I know a lot of my voters in Letterkenny were given a personal vote to Desi Shields and assured me of a number two. And, look, it's still a crystal ball territory.
This is why we put those V machines or E machines in storage, isn't it? Because we all want to come back here and talk about it forever.
And I know the drama for Count Street. And, you know, and I think there's a lot of people listening to Highland Radio today that have it on since early morning, and they're still listening to it. And it's amazing. I remember the last council election meeting a woman that she stayed up to, I think Highland Radio were on air to
4 o'clock.
Four in the morning. You know, a very elderly lady, and she listened to it the whole way through.
And that's the reason why I do this stuff, believe it or not, things like that, because predominantly I'm a radio listener rather than someone who works in radio, so I can understand that. There was an 11-point swing. You know, Fine Gael picked up 11% in 2011, lost 11 points in 2016, as one of your ministers would often say.
Yeah.
Is it as simple as that the vote from Fianna Fáil was, right, let's go to Fine Gael, and then in 2016 is, right, well, not, you know, it doesn't seem a natural crossover there. So is it just a coincidence, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, it's hard to figure out, I suppose, when all the figures come in, and, you know, there's still a big dynamic there, even nationally. You know, there's going to be a lot, maybe some Labour candidates are going to help Fine Gael candidates, or Fine Gael candidates going out to help Labour candidates. So it's hard to read the totality of it at this stage.
And just as it relates to the makeup of the next government, how do you see it going?
I think, to be honest, Greg, like, I've spoken to a number of my colleagues today, people that I've known for years, and they're in that battleground where they won't know on Monday morning whether they have a job or not. Some of them do know that they won't have a job on Monday morning, and I spoke to one of them, and he was in bed this morning when I rang him, and it's a hard game, because, you know, politics, it's a great spectator sport, but you know, you have a job one day and you mightn't have it another day. No difference to other people. Other people lose their jobs privately, but this is a very public affair, and you're out there.
I think anyone who runs for public office deserves credit, you know, because over 3 million of us that could, and how many did? 550?
Yeah.
So that's a very tiny percentage of people that, you know, stop moaning, maybe personally decided to go and make a difference.
Yeah, just so you mean, like, even on that point, like, sometimes politicians can be a wee bit focused on themselves. Like, if I think on the organisation and the team I had behind me this time, you know, where they went out hours and hours for you know, on a voluntary basis, for the purpose of putting the county and the country first, like, and you know, they have to be commended as well.
Because you can talk about, oh, the politicians are well paid, pensions, this and that and that, and it's all valid points for many people, but those grassroots people, there is no actual benefit for them other than what they believe is best for their community and their country.
Yeah,
be it Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, or Independent, or whatever.
Yeah, and it's funny, somebody drew a parallel today about football teams, where, you know, the executive and the management of football teams, are they the loyal supporters, or is it the grassroots spectator? And the same in politics. And one thing I've learned from this election is, our party in Fine Gael at a national level, we need to listen to our grassroots a wee bit more, because that has been missing over the 5 years. You hear that all the time.
No, I don't hear it all the time. Yeah. I hear it from you, though, but Joe, with all due respect, because I don't expect you to remember it, but those were the exact words that you said to me, and I think it was when Noel had just been de-elected, you know.
Noel McBride,
I beg your pardon. You know, and that was an emotional time, obviously. Yeah. But you did say that at the time, too, that we need to listen more to the grassroots. And now we're a couple of years on. Yeah. And has that piece of work started within the party?
No, I don't think it has. Let's call a spade a spade. I think I went into the booth in Remelton yesterday, and John Coyle Kissinger, I don't know if he's listening or not, and he's... you know, he was in there working on a voluntary basis. He's been out canvassing day and night. He came round to, you know, with us in any show. And I think the focus has to go back to that person, that they put the party first. They weren't voting for Joe McHugh or Paddy Hart. They were voting party. And politicians on tickets have to realise that they are the engine behind the party.
It did feel sometimes in this process, too, that Fine Gael was speaking sort of at the electorate rather than to it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think...
Like, we know what's good for you. Do you know that sort of a way? Yeah.
I think maybe, you know, we got caught up in the corporate end of messaging. And this is about trying to just let the people know the score. And maybe there was too much of a focus on that. And even the message, while we are keeping the recovery, we are looking to keep the recovery going.
I haven't heard you say that once.
Well,
to me, anyway. To anyone online.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had difficulty with it. I think I had it in my loudspeakers yesterday, and I was thinking, how did that end up there? But, like, there's parts of Donegal, it hasn't come to.
It hasn't even started.
But then, I suppose, the difficulty is there's parts of Donegal, and there's sections and sectors, and there's certain businesses in Donegal
where
it has come to.
I think overall, most people would tell you that it hasn't come to Donegal in any way, shape, or form, except perhaps maybe in the tourism industry.
Yeah, and then you go back to the Celtic Tiger, and people say it wasn't in Donegal then. And then you go back to the 80s, and I look at a lot of my friends went to London in the 80s. So, look, Donegal still needs a big game changer, be it the A5, be it that critical investment. And I suppose one thing I was accused of in the last few weeks was of, as a junior minister, was of bringing too much money to Donegal. If I get back into position, I'll continue with that philosophy.